Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
All right, let's do it live on a First Friday Miracle edition of the program. Merely Bo, the great Z. See, I would use a Sunday right now. I'd use it.
The problem with today as right a now. Sunday, and I hear you.
Why? What is coming?
No. I just what had already come. The ground's too wet to enjoy yourself out there on the links.
It's not too bad. It's a full day of drying yesterday.
I didn't have to do much with the dogs this morning.
It was which okay.
Tells me the ground is okay.
Now there's the dog wetness test.
The barometer.
It is.
Hold on. So you guys are saying it's okay?
I think you could play today, and I think 100%. It'd be for sure you could play.
The next level's next.
I think there's a very decent chance that you might not even be in. I mean, is it cart path only?
Probably. 100%. But that's fine. I don't care about
probably,
that. Depending on the course.
Probably. Maybe not all holes. You know? But I think you could get out there and live a little bit. Get out there and have a little fun, man. It'd be tough. Like, if you only have five of them in a calendar year to use, we have to be realistic. You can't have every day be a Sunday. But if you had five
they're only
of them,
allowed in particular months, and we've set the parameters.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you were gone.
Uno just goes, oh, you missed this.
Oh, my God. We invented this last week.
Yeah.
So here's the proposal.
The day that was like 70 degrees.
It was 70-some degrees here. It was gorgeous.
Perfect. On Monday.
And we knew garbage was coming. There was going to be snow. It was going to be big snow and rain and all
the junk. It was the first Monday after the combine.
That's it.
Yep.
And we said, all right. I said, we need to have Sunday. Not Sunday, one word.
Sunday.
Two words. If you live in a state like this one with the climate as dicey as it is.
I think five is a good number. You get five.
You get five. Get out of jail free. I'm off. Don't begrudge me. Living my best lives. You can use them in January, February, March, and April.
Yep.
Those are the months you have to use them. You get five.
And they've got to be like over 60 degrees. It's like an abnormal. Yeah.
Do we want to arbitrate?
Now,
we changed in each month. It was 55
in
January.
Can't take the same
day. Yeah. No. No restrictions.
No restrictions.
No. I'm not talking for us. I'm saying a law in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say that. I was going to implement this. This goes back to my whole.
You were going to benefit too.
I was willing to go with this.
No. We have our plan already. We have a great plan.
And you have a great plan. Yeah, all of those plans are going to be implemented. It's going to be beautiful.
It's going to be
pure
joy, really.
I was saying this should be a rule. I have two rules I think the state of Ohio should implement for the spring. Five Sundays, no beef, enjoy your time, get outside, live, have a little fun. And then the other thing is we've got to do something about spring break so you don't get price gouged. So those are my two, split the state into 4 weeks, like northwest corridor, first week of March, northeast, second week of March, southwest, so that they can't get you with the prices, because they'll be nimble. As soon as Ohio move, we charge $1 billion.
Anybody coming out of Ohio, right?
Right. So I think we got to kind of work it to where there are regions that are different weeks in March, so you don't get smoked. Because basically, all the high schools are, it's either this week or next, it's next week or the week after. It's when all the spring breaks are. So those are my two recommendations, Governor DeWine.
I was fine with the Sundays.
I think Sundays.
I just the only rule that I had was one of you has to be here.
We weren't even viewing it from our perspective.
No, we
were just
trying to help you all out.
No, and we appreciate that. But we were viewing it from the perspective of for the greater good of humanity, of everybody.
That's right.
So everybody would benefit from it. So that's Sundays. That's it. So those are my two recommendations. Governor DeWine, go.
And you should enjoy today because tomorrow looks rainy, stormy. It's going to start in the 60s, and it's going to get a little chilly for the weekend. But it looks like no rain, at least for St. Paddy's Day, which...
When are you going to do it?
It's like a national holiday
for me. Is it Saturday or Sunday that you do it?
Sunday. You're going to be hungover on Monday.
That's a tough 18th.
I think you got it.
Not for me, baby. That's what day drinking
is. I think you call the bullpen and you say, hey, let's do this Saturday night. All of a sudden, St. Patrick's Day is the 16th.
Yeah, and I know there were some people. I think Lakewood had a crawl last Saturday.
Well, that's really aggressive.
That seems way early.
Yeah, but, premature. You know, it... how many people are going to go out Saturday with the holiday actually on Sunday? They're going to wait till Sunday. So they got in front of it.
I think Saturday's the night. I think it's Saturday night is your St. Patty's Day.
No way.
You really
the
think
it's
going
to be
eggs and eggs Sunday morning,
the,
man.
Right,
I got like breakfast with the Easter Bunny or the grandbaby, and then I'm going to go tank up.
You know about that.
Of course.
Don't you?
Yes, I do know.
A little bit.
Yeah. All right, Pappy. So you got that. You got – so then Cinco de Mayo, you do the same thing? Like you don't do it Saturday?
I don't know when Cinco de Mayo is.
Saying if it fell on a Sunday, wouldn't you do it Saturday night? Just say, hey, this year we're going to do it Saturday.
I think it's just one of those holidays that it is the day, just like Cinco de Mayo is on
– sucks.
Is Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah,
I think it's in its name.
There's another
the 5th
right,
of May.
Another lie that – here's another rule that I want. If a drinking holiday occurs naturally on a Sunday, you just observe it on a Saturday like you did the previous year. Mr. Zagura.
I don't think you're thinking about this properly.
Oh, you're saying put it on a Friday.
No.
Well, we're not going to get the day off anyway. It's a drinking holiday. How could we benefit? Give it to me. I got my pen.
You get the Monday after off.
Yeah, but you don't get the Monday off for St. Patty's Day or Cinco de Mayo.
Why not? We should start getting Mondays off for Super Bowl. If how often is it going to happen that St. Patty's Day or Cinco de Mayo fall on a Sunday? Not that often. So if they do, you get the Monday off. It's like a bonus.
Is that every like 5 years,
yeah,
6 years?
It's like a bonus. It's probably every 6 years. It's every 6 years.
Every 6 years is a little treat.
Yeah.
Well, that's not bad if you can get people to get behind that.
What?
But then you'd have to be off all the other, like you'd have to be off, if it falls on a Monday, you're off that Monday. You're off the Tuesday, you're off that Tuesday. We're not off for St. Patty's Day.
No, I'm saying if it falls on a Sunday, you get the Monday. That's the one bonus you get.
So that's just that's arbitrarily it. That it's
it.
On a Sunday,
now,
that's
yeah,
it. The rest of the time,
I
you
will
have to
say
work.
This. I would have been taking a mental health day on Monday had it actually been the first weekend of the NCAA tournament and St. Patty's Day.
Well, now you're talking.
Because that, when that happens, that's when I'm out of commission for a little while.
All right. My man Gus with this. He's doing St. Patty's Day, giant bar crawl, block party Saturday at his tailgate spot. Okay. Sir Pumpkinhead is.
Really?
So that's when he's doing it. So that's what I think most people are going to do. I think they're going to do Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, the weather's supposed to be a little better. It's like 53
yeah.
and like
good
sunny.
Job to you, Gus. Good job, pal.
Well, that's and like
think.
If you're going downtown, you want to do it
when's
Saturday because Sunday's the parade.
Oh.
And the parade is.
Yeah. All right.
I never would go. I'd either do kegs and eggs or I'd wait till the parade started and then go to the bars downtown because then everybody is at the parade and I can get a bar stool and away we go.
Is St. Patrick's Day is the clear number one boozy holiday?
Yes.
And then is Cinco de Mayo 2 or is it Oktoberfest?
Or
depending on what part of
the
country.
Is it
the
day before Thanksgiving?
That's the number one for Friday.
That's
the number one first Friday of the year is that one. Yeah.
New Year's Eve?
I think, but those are different. He's talking about, I think.
I'm saying like boozy.
Boozy holidays, I think it's St. Patrick's Day and Cinco de Mayo.
That's yeah.
It. Yeah, those are
because Oktoberfest isn't like a day. It's a, because of course it's a
German. Cinco de Mayo's picked up a lot of traction recently. It's gotten more popular and they've got a lot more events.
I'm glad you brought this up. I had no idea what Cinco de Mayo was until I moved to Florida.
Okay.
No clue.
Well, I
did not. So California, you're going to be, it's going to be part of the culture.
I guess we just let people in on the secret.
It was not in
on. Your childhood, you mean?
Yeah. And now St. Patrick's Day is a huge deal. Like if you type into your Google, if you type in Butte, which is a city in Montana, their St. Patrick's Day celebration is the stuff of legends.
Like Chicago-ish?
In a Montana mountain version, yes. Yeah.
Really?
Yes, it's legendary. It is.
You know what else is a legendary?
You better bring a switchblade because you will be in a fight. That's a lock. I've never been to Butte in my life where somebody I wasn't with didn't get in a fight.
I don't.
Ultra aggressive.
Well,
mining town.
That.
Yeah.
You might.
But they get it going.
You might enjoy Savannah then. Savannah.
So there's another one that's got
tremendous,
that.
Tremendous St. Patty's Day.
Yeah.
I did that once in right after school. And I was not feeling well the morning we were supposed to leave early.
Yeah.
And my considerate friends decided to beat me with pillows and chairs until I got out of bed.
You got to go.
The beatings will continue until morale improves.
Well, morale didn't improve. The beatings.
That's a decent car ride, too, back to the ATL.
No, this was going. So the night before, I had had a corporate dinner that got completely out of control and ended those corporate dinners for the second year and
it's
first year. And and then we went to Savannah that next day. Like, I couldn't
have... Oh, you were en route.
Yes, I was being woken up to go.
Pull you there.
Yes.
But that still's got to be a couple hours.
Yeah, it's a couple hours.
From the ATL to Savannah. Yeah,
a couple hours. Yeah. Nothing crazy. It's not like driving to Indy.
No, but even 2 hours in that state's no fun.
5 seconds in that state was no fun. I was in a very bad way.
And it's not a... Is it a freeway up there? Or is it some...
I don't remember.
Turny roads?
I don't think it's like too turny. I think you're just...
Relative
country
freeway, country roadsy, yeah. All right, there you go. So there you go. So that's how your St. Patty's Day is going to go. I'm going to make the blonde requested that I make something Irishy because she's a little bit of Irish, and so I'm like, I think I'm going to do like a Guinness stew is what I'm going to do.
Nice.
We got a bunch of some beef that we got all cubed up and ready to go. So I think that's what I'm going to do with that, and I think I can make that very good.
Yeah.
I think that can be a treat.
I think the key is just letting it simmer.
Yeah, it's putting just got to take a lot of time.
Just letting it go.
It's got to take a lot of time. That's got to be where you're at. I do think their cuisine's better than the German cuisine.
Yes.
But not Cinco de Mayo cuisine.
No. Cinco de Mayo is number
one. That's the elite cuisine of the boozy holidays. Yeah. Glad we've sorted that out. And we've given DeWine things to work on.
Yeah, which is good.
Sunday.
This is not only a Browns program, it's a civic program.
We're here for the people.
By the way, Nana, one of the people, says... No video. Is this true, Griff, or is she struggling with technology?
We have video, according to Griff.
Oh, we also got clarification on the bowling yesterday.
Did you guys see this? Last night about
that. So I didn't understand
pretty
anything.
Pretty formidable young man.
Well, I didn't understand, like, any of it.
All right, so break. Give it to me.
All right, so there. Now I don't know if I can find it. I had so many mentions for some of the.
I'm still back in Griff.
100%.
No. I am, too. So this was the. All right, here it is. Says, it's from James. He said, just got to listen to today's show. I bowled a 220, a 277, and a 257 actual. I'm a 210, 215 average bowler and coach our local high school team. So our best, me, of course, versus Griff for the CBD title. Griff, handicap your chances.
What do you think? He said those are some pretty good scores.
Yeah, 210 to 215 average. Where are you at, Griff? Are you in that mix? When you're at your best?
Last time I was in the league, it was 205.
Okay. We could have a worthy adversary.
I still back you, Griff.
This is from Biddy. Biddy gets
Griff, I got 850 reasons why you're going to want to come through.
This from Benny. 100% people are celebrating St. Patty's Day both Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
In the liquor business, everyone is playing for parties on Saturday. So it's both.
There you go.
They're going to do both.
I'm pacing myself for Sunday.
If I were to take part, I'm not going to be able to. I mean, there's no chance I'd be going to like St. Patty's Day stuff with everything we got going on. It would be a Guinness, and then it would be a Bushmills Black Back.
Yeah.
That's the order. Redbreast would be another one that I would consider. It's just rare that you see it on shelves.
In your own, perhaps you might run across a beautiful red bottle of Redbreast 27. Can't say you wouldn't.
Can't say.
By the way, do we have an update on? I'm very sad about my spirit animal.
All right, so he was
running afoul.
The text that I got this morning.
I was ready to go. I had a ticket for two to Vicktown. Me and Bootsy.
He was excited. The other two have all sorts of activities tonight. So they'll be out of the
mix. So you've got no further clarification, huh?
No, but the text that I received from Bootsy's mother this morning was he is not allowed to play any video games tonight. He knows it. He was rude to me in the car. He did apologize. But I don't know what the transgression was. At least
interesting that he did come back with an apology. He's
got tremendous guilt if he does. I told you, were you guys here when I told the story about the $10?
No.
Did you guys miss this?
Yeah.
God.
It must have been Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday. So, yeah, must have. Did I tell it with Jim? I can't remember if I told it with Jim. All right, so he's at the top of the stairs at the upstairs Xbox, and he goes, Dad, can we buy a ten? Can we get $10? Can we spend $10 on a pack of for something?
Which game?
The Fortnite.
Okay, he wants some
Something. Some V-Bucks. I don't know what that means. He wants some V-Bucks. Okay, so he wanted some V-Bucks, and I said, no. And he goes, but Dad. Like, it's our money. And I'm like, first of all, you don't have any money. You've spent all the years. Beamsy has money because he doesn't spend any of it. But so it'd have to come out of his end for starters. So second of all, no, You can't spend your money on that. I'm not doing it. You're eight. But dad, back and forth. No. The answer's no. So then he goes, he's got a little bit later. He's up there and he goes, Dad, I found $10. Here, I think you should have it. And I said, well, I don't want your $10. I don't need $10. And he goes, No. I think you should have it. I mean, I found it and I think you should have it. And I said, it's very nice. I have my own $10. I don't need your $10. You keep it and save it for a rainy day.
Dad, I spent.
And then he drops it. And he goes, okay, I'm just going to drop it and leave it there. I'll just leave it there. And if you can pick it up if you want. And I said, No, all right, it'll stay there. Rest of the night goes by. This was on a Saturday. On a Sunday, I get an email, Microsoft, $10, $9.99 V-Bucks purchase.
No way.
So he did it before he asked and then felt bad, scurried the $10 somewhere, probably from his brother, stole it. Or maybe his brother just, knowing Parker, he probably just gave him the money to make him feel better. Like, here, you're in trouble. Like, this will make it better. And to pay it off. So I go, I said, whatever happened to that $10? And he goes, it's down there, Dad. It's in the thing. And I said, did you do this anyway? No. And I said, well, what do you make of this? Straight to the room.
He just took off.
Took off to the room.
He already knew.
He knew. Yeah, straight to the room.
There is a thing called the Fortnite Crew that would be a good gift for Bootsy that you could get him, make him very happy.
What's that?
I think it's like $10 a month. And then it gets them V-Bucks. It gets them the battle pass for free. It gets them extra skins. And
so that
it's a good.
It feels like a gift that keeps on giving, like the right. Cheese of the Month Club Jelly of the Month Club.
Yes. Yes.
All right. We'll look into that.
Because it actually
enhances your.
If you were going to be spending money on it, you get way more out of it this way. If you're somebody who wasn't going to spend any money, obviously, then it's not a great deal. But it sounds like they're getting into it. They're going to want skins. They're going to want all that.
That's the deal.
You're winning in that regard, bigly.
All right. We have some updates. We've re-signed Corey Bjorkes.
Yes.
We have lost Jordan Elliott to the San Francisco 49ers.
Not Pedro, not pleased.
He doesn't like Jordan Elliott?
He's not
a big fan?
He doesn't like the two years, $10 million. He was not happy. That didn't fit in his salary parameters.
That's what he's worried about?
Jordan Elliott, yeah.
our great friend Nick Harris. To the Seahawks.
Yeah,
back home.
Back home, played at Washington, back to the Pacific Northwest. I think that's great for him.
And we have also lost our tight end, Harrison Bryant, to the Raiders.
Oh, really?
This happened. 1 year, $3.25 million deal.
Good for Harrison.
Max value of $4 million.
Good for Harrison.
Well, you had identified that yesterday when we were going through the positions that we would need to pick up a tight end. Yeah. And now that
I still think that can be a rookie because you've got Chief and you've got Akins. I think, you know, my guess is you don't need that guy to be a pass catcher. You need a blocker. So Zaire Mitchell-Payton, who's been in the program, who is built like an Adonis, maybe this is his opportunity. You know, that'd allow you to be cheap. We're not going to need three tight ends very often.
No.
So I think it's just a different – you got Akins, you got Chief, and then maybe you could go with him or you sign somebody there. A very positive overall, I think, for the Browns – this offseason. And when you mentioned the $4 million, I thought it would be important because people are losing their minds over the reported value of Jameis Winston's contract. It's $4 million, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
And it's a potential to be up to 8.7, which means we would have a catastrophic injury again. He would have to play a lot and play well and lead us to good things. So,
yeah. So then who cares?
Absolutely. It's a no-brainer. And the Browns, I think, at that price point, got younger at the backup quarterback position. They got somebody who's every bit as dynamic and probably just better, a little bit better schematic fit. And has zero baggage with the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's one of those things where from the fact that he's played so much out of the gun and what we're going to be, we need a little bit, we're probably going to move the pocket a little bit more. We're probably going to play out of the gun a lot more. I mean, I think those things are all true, and that's something that Jameis is very, very comfortable in doing. But yes, as we were going through that yesterday and that everyone was harping on that 8.9, it was like, why don't we wait and see what this looks like by the time it's all said and done? Is it true, like, we are the most expensive team in the league?
Right now? It could be from a cash standpoint. We have done, the Haslams have been very generous in terms of their willingness to spend cash to allow us to play some salary cap games. I don't know that we would be the highest in the league right now. We're going to. We have so much room that is still to be created.
No. But the reason I brought that up is because the willingness to convert into bonuses in the restructures that allows for that. But the point I was going to make is, like, I've had several people be like, man, I thought we'd do more in free agent. I'm like, we're paying everybody.
Yeah.
Like
according to this, we are second in the NFL in terms of active cap spending behind the 49ers.
Okay. So near the very top of the league in spending.
So most of the teams that you would say, most of the good teams, mm-hmm. the teams that have been pretty successful, are in the 215 and up range, with the cap, the top being the Niners at 280. And then you have some teams: Titans, Commanders, Patriots, Bears, Seahawks, Broncos, Packers, Vikings, who are sub 200 right now. But some of them have, you have to add in their dead money too. So a team like the Vikings have 57 in dead money. So they're actually at 230. So that's really where it is. Those teams typically have much bigger dead money hits. Packers as well, they have $50 million of dead money.
Yeah, there was just no chance. There's just, you're not, this front office is not going to get themselves in cap purgatory.
Right.
They will, and this ownership is going to help them to make sure that doesn't happen. So you were, the idea that it was going to be that, it'll only be that if, on the Winston deal, as Z pointed out, unless there is some sort of catastrophic injury, he has to play a lot and then plays well. That's the part of that thing that you're kind of sorting out. So in terms of where we are, nothing else happened since yesterday, right, when we did the show? So it's still
for us
linebacker, it's defensive tackle.
Yeah, there was a fake report that we had signed Jerome Baker that was quickly debunked.
Former Benedictine and Buckeye star.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was visiting Nashville or something, right?
Yeah, the Titans.
Yeah. So those are kind of the spots where you need to buttress some things up still a little bit. D-tackle, linebacker, tight
end. I think D-tackle, you're probably, like, you're good now. I think now it feels like you'd be adding a draft pick. You've got Dalvin Shelby, Maurice Hurst, and Ika.
Yeah, I think you'd like another. I mean, Ika hasn't shown you.
Sure. But I think if you took an early draft pick, that's one more.
Yeah. You need another guy that can go, really go.
I think you need another linebacker. Now, you have to remember, one thing with our defensive tackle room is, in pass rushing situations, we're going to be three defensive ends.
Yes. Yeah.
So
that's true.
I think you'd want to add in a young guy that has a bright future. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if our first two picks were tackles, defensive and offensive, or offensive and then defensive. That would not surprise me in the least. I think you can get another veteran linebacker who can play. How about Dos Unos? I would bring him over here. Isn't he rolling around?
Is he open?
Isn't he a free agent?
Boy, we haven't talked about him in a long time.
I'd take a gamble on that.
Well, he would fit the profile of what they would be looking for. Last played for the Giants.
Yeah, I think I thought he was a free agent. Maybe not.
What should the Giants, 1 month ago, what should the Giants do about Isaiah Simmons from Big Blue View? Should they try to keep the free agent linebacker or let him move on? So, yeah.
Yeah, let's go. I'd be cool with that. I think you need one more, or a veteran linebacker. You could maybe make the case for a veteran safety, so we had five. But I think the roster is in pretty good shape, as we kind of went through yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Lots more around the league. This from Flem. Fantastic. I was working third shift about 6 years ago. My 8-year-old son was up late buying Roblox, $4.99 a pop. My phone was vibrating every couple of minutes, and I finally looked. 14 total transactions.
Jeez, that adds up.
Says he's 14 today and the password is still locked. So this is where we're at. I didn't realize this until my kids got into it. But, like, I first noticed it with Live or 2K. That's when I noticed it. Like,
here's
everything's
the
buy-on crap.
Video games used to be you bought the video game and that was it.
That's
now
it.
They try to reduce the barrier to entry. For example, Fortnite is free to download. And then,
is it really?
Yeah, Fortnite's a free game.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then you get into the world, and then they said, oh, let's take this, and let's take this.
Let our beak on this. And
sure.
Yeah, because the sports ones aren't free. They're still pretty damn expensive.
The price for the game itself typically has not changed much from even when we were kids. Like, a game was $60 then.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So the game is still the same. Now, they'll have 8 versions.
Yeah,
so
you can
load up with, which is basically buying my team stuff.
Mm-hmm.
in the beginning and get the best rubies that are available time, and then you realize, well, in 2 weeks or a month, those rubies are obsolete, and now you got to get a whole new set of cards. Then you need a whole new set of cards. Then you need a whole new set. Like,
you just chase it forever.
If you want, it's pay to play. If you want to be competitive in the online modes in those games, you've got to constantly be getting the best. That's what Madden does. It over the course of like 8 months. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, they crush it.
And by the way, there's nothing more fun than buying a ripping packs.
Well, that I used to do that all the time. I used to use that analogy with the old liquor business before it all went online. Like when you'd stumble into a liquor store that you had never been in, and you're like, oh my God, look what they have here. Like the thrill of that was very cool. Very much like as a kid, ripping packs and seeing if you got the Griffey Jr. Upper Deck.
Well, even in one of those games online, if you get the hottest card at the time, you rip a pack and you get that, you can sell it, and then you don't have to really buy packs anymore because you've got so much cash that you can get all the good guys.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, baby, we will go around the league, some of the other signings. A pretty wild rumor in Cincinnati that's floating around that we're going to – I talked to somebody about this morning.
Is it real?
Well.
I thought I saw it on Graham
here.
I don't know. How about it?
We'll get into it. Coming up next, Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And Bo here for my great friends at the James B. Beam Distilling Company. Booker Noe's vision for Knob Creek was to be the embodiment of full-flavored American whiskey through age-proof and flavor to create a product that sets the standard. Knob Creek created to champion those who stay true to their craft and know what they like and don't feel the pressure to conform. And so now through April 30th, do not forget this one, take advantage of Knob Creek steak rebate. So here's the deal. You get a rebate when you buy a Knob Creek bourbon plus a steak. You just upload a picture of your receipts to knobcreeksteakrebate.com, and they're going to send you $20 to your Venmo account. Must be 21 to participate. See full terms and conditions at knobcreeksteakrebate.com. Must be 21. Knob Creek, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% alcohol by volume. 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Knob Creek, drink what tastes right.
By the way, off track on par, says last week my 12-year-old daughter bought a $150 Pokemon slab on Whatnot while I was watching the Cavs game in the other room. He said, alternatively, if anyone's interested, I have a 2000 Topps Machoke PSA 10 for sale in the link below.
They don't have, in the e-transfer, e-purchase world, there's no consequence. When you were a child and you had, let's say that you had $20 that you had earned through various
had
means,
it in your
and you were holding on to that sucker,
yeah,
and you're like, God, if I get rid of it, it took me a lot to get to this.
If I get rid of it, it's gone.
If I get rid of it, it's gone.
Yeah, there's no transaction.
There's no transaction for these. It's just a button.
It's not real money.
It's not.
It doesn't feel like real money. Yeah.
Who gets hurt? Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Somebody eventually.
Apparently the Bengals' own Twitter tweeted out an image of Burrow with Justin Jefferson, but the hot rumor down there today is that may try to acquire Justin Jefferson and move Higgins to Minnesota in addition with pick or picks.
So I heard two ones and Higgins for Justin Jefferson, which sounds insane to me.
Just remember this about Mike Brown before anybody gets too excited about this it would be absurd to have all those guys on one team even for 1 year, but Mike Brown in 99 was offered an entire team's entire draft to trade the pick, and he didn't.
Wow.
The Ditka deal.
Ditka.
Ditka, full draft. The Bengals said no. So do I think that the Bengals would give up two ones and T. Higgins for Justin Jefferson? I don't. I do think that Joe Burrow has incredible influence in that organization and is,
yes.
What does that mean? I don't know. I just don't know.
Here's the other thing. There's only one ball. I think both of those guys like being one.
Yeah, but if ever there was an instance where they could coexist, that would be it.
That'd
because
be
they all did.
Their team, right.
They won a national championship together at LSU. They played in the – by the way
– Who's going to get paid more, Chase or Jefferson?
What if they do it exact same?
I just don't think it's going to happen. Wouldn't surprise me, though. I mean, the AFC North is getting so absurd every second. Somebody else good.
I just think that – so I was talking to somebody today about this, and the reality is from their perspective – now, they cover the Bengals. It's Mike Petraglia, a good dude, and been on the beat down there for a long time. And their – his feeling was that far and away, the most pressure in the division to win next year is on Cincinnati. That with this group and with who they have to pay, that there is an incredible amount of sense of urgency of we've got to go now. Now, they have so many more holes than we do. They have no defensive tackles. Their secondary is a mess. But they don't have the questions we do at quarterback. They have now, but they have injury questions. And I do
say,
I asked him that. I'm like, 2 out of 4 seasons with Burrow, he has not finished a season. Now, when he has finished a season, they played an AFC championship and they got to a Super Bowl. But that is also part of it. But they were pretty that they his feeling was that by far Cincinnati is the most pressure in the division. I think that it's everywhere. I think they're all there.
We've got a lot of pressure. This team is built to go right now. The Ravens, I think, have a lot of pressure because you can see it kind of maybe the roster overall slipping away from them. The Steelers brought in Russ. That feels like a fairly urgent thing. That doesn't feel like we didn't do this for 3 years from now. And the bank, this our division's loaded, and everybody has a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Boy, it's going to be an absolute – it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. Here's the here are the stat lines. You ready for this, for the kids?
Let's see.
Here are the this is the stat line for Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, their final season at LSU when they won the national championship. Well, first I'll give you the Burrow line. Okay, this is the Burrow line. 76% completion percentage. Yeah. 76% completion percentage. 5,671 yards.
Yeah.
60 touchdowns.
Six, and it was 5,
six picks. 10-1 touchdown to interception in the Southeastern Conference. So I know Bailey Zappe beat him. That ain't this. All right. So
Bailey Zappe
5,671 yards. Ja'Marr Chase. 85 receptions, 1785, 21 yards a catch, 20 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Justin Jefferson, 111 catches, 1540, 14 a catch, 18 touchdowns. By the way, Terrence Marshall caught 13 touchdowns that year.
Yeah.
Was Randy Moss's kid the tight end?
He was. Thaddeus Moss was 47 catches, 570, and 4 touchdowns. Yeah. They had 3 guys over 45. They had, yeah, it's nuts. So if anybody could get away with it, they could. I just don't think money wise, you couldn't give up that much for a rental.
It's one time you're all in.
And the other thing is like you could almost talk yourself into it if like Burrow hadn't already done his deal and they all did their deals together.
Of course.
So that it could mesh and they all took less.
Right.
So that they could play together. But his deal's done and it's 215 guaranteed, 275 total.
Yeah.
Unless he's willing to restructure it like Mahomes did yesterday.
We were talking about that. Let me ask you guys this, and maybe you have a better answer. Do you guys think anybody out there, like fans, even understand like the salary cap or how it works or the restructuring and how – like I think people think the perception is if you're willing to convert it into signing bonuses and give it immediately right now, you can get out of the salary cap issue you're in. You'll free up space, but eventually you do have to pay the piper on it, right?
Yes, at some point, yeah.
At some point.
But what you're counting on is that the dollars, due to the inflation of the cap, the inflation on those dollars are less in the future.
Yeah, it's less penalty down the road because the cap will go up. As long as the cap keeps going up, you'll have the freedom to be able to work.
Correct.
So what Kansas City did yesterday was, hey, Pat, how would you like $21 million in cash right now?
Yep.
And we'll take it out of your future. And he said, yeah.
Said, this sounds great.
This sounds fantastic. I'd love that money right now. And away we go. So that's Denzel did that a couple of weeks ago. That's what will happen with probably more guys on our roster going forward.
Yes.
But that's the way that is working.
So. Yep.
But even still, the other problem is like, has Mike Brown shown a propensity to do that? Like, they just did the Burrow deal last year.
Yeah. It feels to me like they are – not the organization that would go bonkers like that.
Well, when they were 2016, 2017, when they were loaded top to bottom, I think they only had like 5 or 6 free agents. Everything else was stuff that they had acquired during the draft and developed.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
They historically
haven't spent. Now they more now.
Correct.
Since Katie Blackburn's been in the mix, they've spent more. But historically, no, they have not. I think the other part of this is, and you would have a better point of reference on this than I would, Gibbe, me or Z, quite honestly. Is this the first time since when that all four teams in this division are all in their prime and all fancy themselves Super Bowl contenders? Has that ever happened?
Because in the 80s, the Squealers were trash.
Right.
Bubby
Brisker, then it would have been the Oilers. The Oilers would have had Warren Moon.
They were playoff team.
We had Bernie. Bengals had Esiason.
Yeah.
And the Steelers had Mark Malone, Bubby Brisker.
Yeah, like, the Steelers
were
awful.
Off the grid.
2 years ago. 3 years ago? 2020.
2020?
Yeah. Lamar would have been coming off the MVP.
But the Steelers wouldn't have been.
They had Ben still. Yeah, they went to the playoffs that year. That was late Ben.
Were we serious? Like Super Bowl view?
I don't know if we were because we were considered to be that going into 19 and then we fell flat on our face. So then I think the talent was obviously there to do it.
But so much of it was on there was a lot of our talent we hadn't had to pay yet.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But we thought we were good. The Bengals, that was Burrow's rookie year, 20?
Yeah, because 19 he's at LSU.
Oh, yeah.
And then so the Ravens would have had Lamar coming off of an MVP.
Yeah, well, he won the MVP the year Mahomes won his first Super Bowl. Was that 19 or 20?
20. No, that was Brady winning in 20.
No, it was 19 the Chiefs 19. Won it.
Right.
Yeah.
So they were coming off the Super Bowl.
Lamar's the reigning MVP.
Lamar's coming off the Super Bowl.
You got the Steelers with Ben. You got the number one overall pick in Burrow. Stefanski's first year here.
Yeah. So that was pretty close.
But not like this.
No. This is everybody, if you go to any one of these organizations, they would say, yeah, we can win the Super Bowl.
Last year probably was close, too, because remember, the Steelers believed in Pickett. They thought he was good down the stretch. So going into it, we all thought the Steelers were the fourth team in the division, but nobody else did. The Bengals, Browns, and Ravens last year certainly were. I think
we just hadn't seen Lamar with that offense. You and I knew it would be good, but I don't think people around the league knew how good that would be.
All four teams had winning records, if I recall. Yeah. The Steelers won in week 17 to guarantee that.
So all of those things are leading to stuff like Russ to the Steelers and Patrick Queen to the Steelers, and it's leading to what we've done in the last couple of days. It's leading to Cincinnati saying, man, we have got to strike right now. We've got to go. And that's how you get these crazy things of rumors of Justin Jefferson. I do not understand if you're crazy, it might be smart to trade him.
If they were really
where they are,
were really offering me 2 ones and T. Higgins, I would do that in a second.
Yeah.
You still have T. Higgins and Addison, who was very good last year. Now you've got 2 ones this year, two ones next year
to rebuild
and to go find a quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's no sense in them paying him with who they have.
No, but they can pay Higgins, which would be
less than Jefferson. Jefferson's going to reset it.
And you have Addison on a rookie deal.
Yeah.
You don't know when you're going to get Hockenson back. You just dropped Aaron Jones in the backfield. That's not a bad offense.
No.
Not a bad offense at all.
The Raiders plan to release Hunter Renfrow. There you go. He was a guy who would be very familiar with Deshaun. Caught the pass.
Yes.
Not sure if it's a fit, but he would catch the pass.
It feels like from his excellent year, which he did have one, it feels like that he's a far cry from that right now. I don't know why, what the reason would be. I know he's battled some injuries over the years.
Smaller dude. Yeah.
So if Judy does his best work in the slot, you know, and I think Elijah does his best work outside. So now we're going to have, you know, I don't know what the room is. They think probably David Bell probably can be Hunter Renfrow. I'm not saying that he can. I'm saying that probably would be the thinking that, you know, what would you be paying him for, per se?
The connection would be obvious with Watson. Though, so that they hooked up a lot, including for the pass and the catch. That
would be the only reason that you would.
Yeah.
You would.
But people do that all the time.
Yeah.
You see the familiarity.
The only problem is you wish that it was somebody who was maybe not the most overall skilled receiver, but just happened to be a burner that played with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That you would be a little bit more interested in.
Certainly. The Steelers and Panthers agreed to a trade last night. The Panthers acquiring Deontay Johnson and a seventh-round pick from the Steelers in exchange for Dante Jackson and a sixth-round pick. Well, Deontay will – they don't have anybody else to catch it. He can get a lot of attempts. I mean, he's a fantasy stud.
Can he get a quarterback to throw it to him?
Well, he's got a decent arm. They're going to have to throw it a lot because they're going to suck. Yes. So, like, watch for him in fantasy. I bet he gets a ton of targets.
I think he's
good. Look what happened with Thielen. Like, Thielen was a great fantasy guy. And he's better than Thielen. So, I think he could be a huge fantasy guy.
And they drafted Jonathan Mingo, who didn't really do anything in his rookie year. The thing that's interesting, when you talk to some of our corners, and I don't know if this is still true, but at least as of a couple years ago, they all consider Deontay Johnson to be one of the toughest guys to cover in the league.
Yeah.
He's a good player. I'm surprised that the Steelers are getting rid of him.
Me too.
Now, my guess is with Arthur Smith, they're saying, all right, we're going to play two receivers, two tight ends.
The Washington kid's going to be a monster.
So you're going to play Washington with Freiermuth. You're going to play Pickens. And then since they got a corner back in it, Dante Jackson, wasn't he like a former second-round pick?
Yeah, I think you're right.
Fast corner. That my guess is that they're looking at that as now maybe they're going to draft a receiver.
First round, yeah.
Which is scary.
Yeah. The Texans signed Danielle Hunter on a two-year $49 million. That Texans team's going to be a squad.
They're
squad.
Yes, they are a problem.
Yeah. You want to talk about fast track. They're land on a DN and a quarterback in one draft.
They're a problem. Now they're going to have Hunter, Anderson.
Yeah.
They've got Nico Collins has been great.
Yep.
Then they bring in.
Secondary's great.
Who do they bring in a running back?
They got Joe Mixon.
Mixon,
but then they did two. There's two of them.
Those are another
one? Signed. Yeah, they signed two running backs. I'm blanking on who the other one was. I like how you just rate Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, Hunter Renfro, just real quick. Renfro in 2021, 103 catches, 1,038 yards, 9 touchdowns, all career highs. Since then, he has 36 for 330 and 2, 25 for 255 and 0.
So that would have been Carr.
It's a hell of a cliff.
Yeah. I wonder if just banged up or what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe. I like how you just write Aaron Rodgers. Like, I'll say it how much you want to get into it.
Let's tease it right now, and let's talk about it in the next segment.
We'll do that. We got free agency grades in the NFL as well. You'll listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan base in the NFL. Join Next Gen STM, presented by Ticketmaster, the official waitlist to your Cleveland Browns. Being a Next Gen STM, the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Mr. Zagura?
Did we ever do that one?
Well, we should have. It's noteworthy. You don't want to miss this. Billy Joel and Rod Stewart are going to be together for the first time ever. It's happening on Friday the 13th. It is right
September.
Here. Yep. It is right here at Cleveland Browns Stadium in our fair city.
Wow.
A little more than a month after SummerSlam.
A month and 10 days to be exact.
Yeah. You can buy tickets right now. All you have
Where?
To do. It's a great question. You visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/Billy and Rod 2024. And there's more information.
Billy and Rod 2024. Let me tell you something about this concert, folks. When you buy your ticket, the price of ticket, it gives you the whole seat. But Billy told me you'll only need the edge.
Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Billy and Rod.
Let's go.
Now you pay attention.
Come on.
That was for Uno. That was a big one for Uno. Uno, nothing?
For Uno.
That was great. I didn't know that was going to be for me. But that was very
How could you
exciting.
Not know? You got a fresh helmet?
He's got a fresh helmet. You've got it. We got to talk to you about what's going on here.
Number one, he's got a big game tonight on the field down below.
So
I think you got to take off the.
Yeah, it needs to go. I was just looking at it in the camera.
Yeah, it's got to go.
It's not good.
It's not good right now. Go ahead.
So Uno and I was warming Uno up earlier, having a little catch, and Drew Yellowstone was interested in Uno's you know, performance. And, you know, so what's kind of, he said, how would you describe your game? Who's your player comp?
Yeah.
And I threw out DeSean Jackson. And Uno goes, yeah, that's pretty much right.
I can go like, deep, but I don't trust myself on any of the other routes.
Like, Long Beach, run, Long Beach, Pauly's finest.
Just run verticals.
Cal Berkeley.
DeSean Jackson. Just running verticals could make you be like a guy who played for the Browns. I think you have more. I think.
Except yeah. He's already got more touchdowns.
Yeah, you're not Schwartz.
No.
He's got two catches.
He's got two touchdowns, baby.
All he's like Chris Carter, though. Yeah. All I do is catch touchdowns. Uno.
Captain of the team asked me in the cafeteria today if I was ready. So.
Who's the captain, Corey?
Corey. I said, are you ready? He goes, I was born ready. So we're locked in already, week two.
You guys are dialed.
Yeah, we're good.
Right now, my over-under in the spread for this game, do you know who you're playing?
I have no idea.
No. It doesn't matter.
I think we're playing the team that scored the second most points. I did check that.
All right. I got you guys minus 21 and a half.
All right. I could not. Minus 21 and a half, the other big favorites. Yeah. Are you familiar with the Cinemax show Banshee?
Am I?
No.
No, you are.
I am not.
Wow. You look. You are straight out of casting right now with this. With the fresh
oh,
helmet.
Stop it! Stop it!
With the fresh helmet and the chin.
You say he looks like an Amish gangster.
Yeah, that's right. With the chin beard and this fresh helmet. You tell me he doesn't.
It does look. If he were in overalls right now,
I don't think you're wrong.
Like that guy Proctor who was
Moshe,
running everything.
Moshe. He looks like Dwight Schrute's cousin.
Yeah, Moshe Schrute.
Moshe Schrute.
I think he's got it. He's got a very and a. Look, love the Amish people, dude. Great work. And Buddy Garrity.
Let me just say, Griff.
Country. But I'm telling you, like, he looks like he could be one of Proctor's boys if you're familiar with Banshee. And if you're not,
you should be. Griff, you should become familiar with that program. You'll thank me later.
Oh, Griff would be a big fan of that program.
Huge fan of that program. Maybe the best first episode in TV history.
It's on a short list. I think even the whole first season is... That's a lot.
Yeah, the first episode.
First episode's unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
It's really great.
Sucks you right in.
It does. And then there's.
It keeps you going.
Keeps going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably the most terrifying big bad, I think, maybe ever in the first season.
Well, yeah.
In the prison?
Yeah.
You know which guy I'm talking about?
I believe so.
You'd know if you. Yeah. I don't think you do.
I might not.
I think you haven't seen it in a long time.
I haven't. I was thinking more of the
not Proctor.
The things that would go on. Is it Proctor at the farm or whatnot?
Yeah, that's Proctor. He was the guy running the town. He was like the Brad Wesley of Pennsylvania.
That guy was pretty terrifying.
He was.
Because your demise would not be pleasant. It was a very unpleasant demise that you could meet. Not that any demise would really be pleasant.
I don't think you're going to remember this guy. I don't think you're going to remember this guy at all. Remember that guy?
Oh, man. I mean, how could you forget a guy that looks like that?
Did you? Do you recall that storyline now?
I don't remember the storyline, but I remember him.
That's unsettling. Aaron Rodgers going to be vice president? Is that the deal? That's
so is he not going to play? Do you see Sauce Gardner said he hasn't been responding to my text?
Well, you're going to get like 3% of the vote, so I think he could still play football and then be on a ticket.
And be on a ticket.
Right? You could. So him or the body? That's RFK Jr.'s
too. That could be a cabinet.
Those two guys. Here's one for you. One of the, I think the most iconic entrance to an action film of all time is Predator.
I knew you were going to say that.
When the chopper lands.
The chopper, yeah.
Yeah, and they all get off. Schwarzenegger and Bill Duke and Jesse the Body.
The Body. Potential VP as well.
Two of the people on that chopper were governors.
That's right.
In the United States.
That's
and
right.
The guy they went and shook hands with was Carl Weathers. That's when you know you're on a program. And isn't that in your neck of the woods? The Puerto Vallarta, right?
It is in Puerto Vallarta.
Yeah.
Have you heard the story about Arnold and Jesse the Body Ventura from the set of Predator
yes.
with the biceps?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
Amazing.
So long story
that
short.
That was in the Arnold doc, right? Didn't he tell that in the Arnold doc?
I know. I see. It's come up on my Instagram a couple times
yeah,
in the last
I've seen
week.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
So long story
well,
short.
Well,
is,
now even more since we're talking
yeah, we're
about
talking
it.
About it. Long story short is Arnold had the tailor measure Jesse the Body's biceps.
Yep.
At a certain what the number was.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him that, oh, well, I just measured Arnold's. They're less than that.
Yep.
And so Jesse the Body was all excited and challenged and basically said, let's measure our biceps for a bottle of champagne. And Arnold's like, yeah, of course, sure, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then obviously Arnold's biceps were way bigger because he's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mr. Olympia.
And he had duped Jesse the Body. Jesse Body was a...
But, yeah.
His nickname was the Body.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's a different level.
Yep.
When you're Schwarzenegger.
Yep.
All right.
If you want to hear a little bit more, the Mad Dog weighed in on Aaron Rodgers possibly becoming VP this morning.
Oh, my God. Was that on First Take or whatever?
Yeah. You want to listen to
Do
about
we
a
have
minute
it?
30? It's yeah, ready sure to go.
Go for it. Yeah, I want to hear it.
It's loading.
That's all just a little bit of loading.
Loading.
No big deal. No big deal at all.
Okay. Here's what's... Oh, here we go.
As soon as that is whistling, are you crazy? I'm a quarterback. I'm of the Jets. I don't want to be the vice presidential candidate, but Rodgers, who loves being in the news, Jeopardy, McAfee, oh, he can't. He loves being talked about. This is Aaron Rodgers, the new book coming out by E. O'Connor in September. He's going to love it because everybody's going to go buy it. I'm going to be talking about Aaron Rodgers. So Rodgers now, who has done nothing for the Jets, who brought in Hackett and freaking Lazard and Randall Cobb, guys who stink. So now he is going to sit there and let this rumor percolate for the next four or five days so he can get juice enough already. You are a quarterback.
Wait,
I don't want him representing me in government. Ronald Reagan was an athlete.
That's right.
And an actor, and I'm not a good actor either.
Jesse Ventura was a wrestler.
Oh, Lord, you going to say that, really?
Yeah, that's going to get me in trouble.
Go
because
ahead,
they want to make him out to be Spencer Tracy, but he's not. Father Flanagan. Watch the movie Boys Town. Anyway, make a long story short, the idea... It's not Boys Town. What was that movie? Yeah, I think it was Boys Town. That Spencer Tracy played the priest. He was great. 1936. Won the Oscar. Anyway.
1936?
He won back-to-back Oscars. Wow. Spencer. Do you know that? They
no.
do know that. That's Spencer Tracy.
I did not.
Anyway. Rodgers. This is ridiculous that he is going to let you. So I'm going. You know, I almost sit there and say, you know what? Go be the VP. You got no chance of winning, and then you'll disappear. But Rodgers should come out and say, I am the Jets quarterback. And he won't. That's number three.
I'm going to be honest, Mad Dog. They call me and tell me I could be the VP candidate.
Arcee is gone.
I'm gone. No, I'm not even gone. And they tell me I can still play football, too. I'm going to play football, but I'm for sure going to be on
you
the ballot.
He's not going to win.
Get a quarterback of the Jets.
Get a quarterback of the Jets. Also got a Spencer Tracy.
Spencer. What, Oscar? 1936. Back to back.
Here's the gift. This is a nonsense story. But Doggy goes there. He plays to an 11.
Yeah.
That's the gift.
The gift.
And more importantly, he's 100% right. Yeah. Roger's going to let this fester.
Of course. Yeah.
Yep. A little marinate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is a real tweet right here from Sauce Gardner earlier today. Oh, Aaron about to become the VP. That's why he ain't been answering my text messages with an emoji like this.
There you go. All right. We'll grade the early portions of free agency around the AFC North. 10 free agents that are still available as well. As the Griff stat of the fact of the day is coming up as well. You have all of those things to look forward to.
He wouldn't even let us in on it. He was
all right. I'm not gonna read ahead. It just
I don't
be a surprise
it. Yeah.
When it happens. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
For a team of injury lawyers dedicated to every client every day, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO, Elk and Elks, proud partner of your Cleveland Browns. What do we have here? We have a little coaching news on our side of things. This is down the depth chart on the coaching news,
yeah,
but nevertheless.
Yeah, this is from Pete Thamel, who is the college football senior writer for ESPN. According to him, UConn OC Nick Charlton is leaving for the Cleveland Browns, where he will be the offensive assistant slash run game specialist. The former head coach at Maine from 2019 through 21, where he was the youngest head coach in Division One.
So we got a couple of young coaches on the staff.
I would. Do either of you know what the nickname for the University of Maine's football team is? I know you know. God bless you, star student. I knew he knew. You
guys, star student, just not an appearance.
Well, we're working on that.
We are working.
He's going to get slicked up.
He's got a polo going.
I'm not talking about that. We've already been over the issue that we're going to sort out. He's going to be ready to roll tomorrow. You'll be quicker, too. Less drag. Do you guys have a nickname? Do you guys know what they are? Maine?
The no. Blue Hens.
Just tell her no.
Delaware Blue Hens.
That's Flacco, right? That's why that was on my brain.
Griff had it, too. It's the Black Bears.
That's right. Maine Black Bears.
Are there a lot of black bears in Maine, apparently?
Oh, yeah. That's a wooded.
It is very
quite
wooded.
Yeah. Quite wooded.
The Great Samoset Resort.
It's a hole in my resume. I've not been up to that.
I've been there.
I've only been to Boston and New England. I've not been
to Kennebunkport.
I've not been to Kennebunkport. I've not been. It feels like a place I'd
drove an RV through Kennebunkport. Almost got it stuck.
Where were you going to that you drove?
We were up into Maine.
We drove to Rhode Island for the oldest niece's high school graduation, and then plucked everybody into the RV that I rented and went up into Maine.
I've been to Maine a couple times.
It's awesome.
My cousin Danny's mom lived up there.
Danny.
Fresco.
And we went to...
That was on.
I was in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
And then I was in Friendship, Maine. And then we went up to the Samoset, which is a very nice resort. Like, it's kind of the Pebble Beach of the East.
Boy, how often can you golf, though? Is it like a month a year?
Yeah, but in the summer, it's awesome.
Yeah, so probably like June, July, and then that's it.
This is what I remember. Maine was beautiful. A lot of good breweries,
good lobster.
A lot of good stuff. The blueberry infatuation, like every other mile, I think there's a field of blueberries. They're known for the blueberries.
Isn't that wild that they can grow it in that small of a season?
Yeah.
Boy, look at this.
I just remember we were staying in Old Orchard Beach. Great place to go if you're looking. It's right on the water. Lots to do. We literally the one year flew into Boston and then took the Amtrak train that dropped us right at our Airbnb. At Old Orchard Beach. But the one year, I'm like, we have the heated pool and the hot tub. Like, the beach is full. Like, let's go give the ocean a try for the day.
Sure.
Yeah.
How'd that go?
Cold.
Well, the beach is all people from Montreal and from Upper Canada and, Alaska who view this as
probably not
Florida.
Alaska, Gibby.
They come down. I was told
that's quite a bit of a hike.
There were people from Alaska there.
It's like as far as you could go. Like
it's
if
like
from Alaska,
Vancouver,
you were, yeah, you just go down
I understand.
To Vancouver.
I said the same thing. I couldn't.
It'd be more likely to be from Iceland.
It's like they're from Hawaii. It's basically the same thing.
They basically came because this was their version of Florida.
Well, now that
and
I
jumped
see.
In the water and I was like, I'll see you
too
back
cold.
At the hot tub.
Too cold.
I'm done with this.
I can't do that. Can't do it.
I'd like to get the kids up to Lake Winnipesaukee, which not Maine, but New Hampshire.
Yeah. That might be a legendary spot for you.
Yeah. I feel like we have such a connection to the film.
Yeah.
I ran that by my buddy, Mr. Korsmo. He thought it was a good idea.
He thought that was a win?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hoff will be jealous. Might get him back from Germany.
Just do you see him all over he's all over the promotional stuff?
Of course. Of course he is.
I,
what does he do with
I
his
don't
league?
Know.
It's crazy. I feel like he should be getting more than 1,000 euros a month now.
He's doing a lot.
Doing
to
a
me,
lot.
It looks like he's the face of the league. Is what it seems like.
He is the face of the league. Now.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. He's the offensive line coach for the Munich Ravens, but he's the face of the league.
It's not wrong.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
A couple other NFL
news
and notes. The Chargers are releasing wide receiver Mike Williams.
Well, they have to, right?
I miss Gibby.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
this is great.
It goes without saying. Because they don't have it. There's not much they can do. That's how the Khalil Mack, the Bosa stuff all started. Like they're up against it.
Four, now three of I think the top 10 individual salary cap hits for the season were on the Chargers: Mack, Bosa, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. I don't even think Herbert was one of them. Maybe Herbert was one of them. Maybe not Keenan, but they had four of them.
So guess who else would have played with Deshaun Watson?
Mike Williams. Yes, we know.
Well, we knew about Hunter Renfrow too. To be fair,
true.
Yeah, yeah. So they both.
To be fair, yeah, he did catch the.
Yeah, we were aware of that
winner,
one as well.
Clincher.
Mike's just dealt with a ton of injuries, including last year.
Every year, it feels like.
Yeah, it does.
How many 1,000-yard seasons does he have? I'm going to guess over under one and a half.
Pulling it up. 1,000-yard seasons. He has, it would have been over. He was 1,000 in his second year on 49 receptions.
What year is that?
2019.
Okay.
16.6.
Yep, good.
Yeah, 41 for, I'm sorry, 49 for 1,001. And then
isn't that 20 yards a catch?
49 for 101.
For 1,000?
Yards, are, yeah, 16.6. That's what it says.
To me, 50 times 20 is 1,000.
Yeah, for sure. Targets, 90. Receptions, 49. Yards, 1,001. YBCR. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Hold on. Yeah, sounds like right. It's 20. It's 20. Yeah, we had, like clearly, it's 20. We had I was on the advanced stat portion of Pro Football Reference.
Gotcha.
All right. So then in 2021, he was 76 for 1146.
Okay.
15-1. He was at 895 in 2022 in just 13 games, though. So that's 63 for 895. Last year, he only played three games. Off to a good start, but he only played really 2.5 games because we had him on the fantasy. I do remember well.
Yeah. So 2,000-yard seasons.
2,000-yard seasons.
What's his career high in touchdowns?
10, year two.
Okay.
He had 9 in 21.
Okay.
9 in 21.
I mean, listen, you talk about size, speed. He's out of central casting.
Yep.
He just has not been able to, it was 7th overall pick, he just has not been able to really put it together to the level that you would expect of a player. In fact, that year in 2019 led the league at 20 yards per catch. His yards per catch, though, has gone down every single season since, from 20.4, 15.8, 15.1, 14.2, 13.1. So, interesting.
Who was the head coach there before Staley? Why am I blanking on who that is? Like, do you have it, Uno?
Was that Anthony Lynn?
Anthony Lynn was immediately before, and then there was the guy that got.
So did they have, because they had, has Herbert had Lynn and Staley or only Staley?
I think definitely he had Lynn too as a rookie at
Lynn
least.
As well, because that was Tyrod Taylor.
Okay.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of that lost every game in the fourth quarter with Mike McCoy?
Jeez.
With Phil Rivers. It was like every game.
Where's Mike McCoy now?
Mike McCoy was the head coach of the Chargers from 2013 to 2016. I don't know where he is now.
It's like the Canales guy who's in Carolina. Like, going to vaporize.
That feels tough. It went Marty Schottenheimer to Norv. Norv was very successful, 96 and 56. Oh, 96 games, 56 and 40. Marty was 47-33. McCoy was 27-37. Anthony Lynn, 33-31. Brand Staley, 24-24. Gift Smith went 0-3 for you. Mike McCoy went from the Chargers head coach. He was the Broncos OC in 17. He was the Arizona Cardinals OC in 18. And he is currently the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterbacks coach.
There you go. CBS, free agent grade so far. Steelers B, Bengals B, us B plus.
I'll take it. Winning. What about the Ravens? Did they get a grade? They got a better grade than that, huh? A?
It must have been an A.
They're in the headline as earning top marks.
Top marks are the Packers, Falcons, Eagles, Ravens. The Cowboys confused.
Ravens, A-. Ravens retain one of the NFL's best defensive tackles in Justin Madubuike, 4 years, $98 million, who led all defensive tackles in sacks, quarterback hits, and pressures. It's a great start. Swapping out running back Gus Edwards for King Henry is a significant upgrade. Baltimore now has the most dynamic backfield with him and Lamar Jackson. Losing Pro Bowl linebacker Patrick Queen is adjustment, but the Ravens develop an inside backer as good as anyone in the league. I mean, this is just free agency. Geno Stone's a loss. So far they've signed Henry. They've re-signed Madubuike and Nelson Agholor. They lost Gus Edwards, John Simpson, Geno Stone, Patrick Queen, and long snapper Tyler Ott. We know what the Browns have done. We've talked about that, but if you'd like to hear it, I will read it for you now. This has key additions, Jerry Jeudy, Jameis Winston, re-signing Za'Darius Smith, Michael Dunn, key departures, Taki Walker, and Mike Ford. So this doesn't paint the full picture of what we've done, but Andrew Berry extended his run of success when it comes to pouncing on deals involving wide receivers for late-round picks. A few years back, it was landing Amari Cooper for a fifth. Now it's reeling in the 15th overall pick in the 2020 draft and Jerry Jeudy from the Broncos. He's 24. He is talented. Perhaps can be unlocked while playing alongside Cooper. Low-risk, high-reward move for a team that doesn't have much of an ability to acquire external talent because of its cap situation. Signing Jameis to be Deshaun's backup was a shrewd move. They have a younger fill-in than Joe Flacco, which means Winston could be a multi-year answer if Watson suffers another injury or cannot rediscover his Pro Bowl-caliber play. He will. Cincinnati Bengals. Key additions. Geno Stone, Zach Moss, Mike Gesicki. Oh, man, they got him. It's a big target.
Mike Gesicki?
Gesicki, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
Big target.
Big time, yeah.
Like 6'8", isn't he?
Yeah. Maybe not quite that, but big.
He had at least one really solid year with the Dolphins, I want to say.
Yeah, another Penn State guy.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't he athlete to the stars? Agent to the stars?
I don't believe so.
At one point, he had a Penn State guy, didn't he? Who do you have?
I don't know. I'll text him. Yeah, he had back-to-back 700-yard seasons. Since then, it's kind of fallen off. 32 for 362
on the size. So you're pretty 29, close.
249. He seems taller than that.
Yeah,
he looks taller than that on the field.
Oh, did you see? By the way, if you pay attention when we were talking about the Bills, you gave it to the people. You said if Jordan Poyer hits free agency, I would bet that Mike McDaniel. That was in our combine. We had story time at the combine.
Yeah.
And Mike McDaniel loved Jordan Poyer.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I like good football players.
As soon as Jordan Poyer hit the market.
Is he a Dolphin?
He's a Dolphin, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why you go to the combine.
That's why you go to the combine.
That's it, right there, in a nutshell.
When I saw that, you had told that story about how you ran into Mike because you got
And I was with the Bills defensive coordinator as well, Bobby Babbage.
Bobby Babbage. You guys were all together, and you told that story about how Mike, and you even said, if Jordan Poyer hits free agency, he will be a Dolphin. He hit free agency, he's a Dolphin.
Well, how about it? Pay attention to the scores, kids, because we know the scores on every level. It's been a while since we've had an on every level.
It has, yeah. These things happen.
Yeah.
There's moments
there's cycles.
Where phrases, and then you revisit them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cincy, key departure, Joe Mixon. Traded the Texans, Chidobe Awuzie, and Irv Smith. Bengals strengthened the back end of their secondary and subtracted from an AFC North rival with signing of Geno Stone, who's 7 interceptions, with the second most in the NFL. The ground game became more affordable and athletic with Joe Mixon being subtracted and the addition of Zach Moss. Mixon has an average over 4.1 yards per carry since his second season back in 2018. Moss has exceeded that figure in 3 of his 4 seasons. It's amazing that Zach Moss is now regarded as something, and the Bills had him in a perfectly good situation and Devin Singletary and couldn't get anything out of either one of them.
No. No, they couldn't.
However, a cloud hangs over their offseason because of the uncertainty around T. Higgins' long-term future. He demanded a trade. If the Bengals aren't going to give him a multi-year extension, the team can certainly ignore his request, but that would create an awkward locker room dynamic in 2024. And then that brings us to, what do you call him, Gibbe? The Squealers? I think that's what Gibbe would call him.
Pitspuke. Too bad you don't have a light.
Then you don't have a light, and you'd know you were on. By the way, did you say something about a light coming back? I saw something on Twitter where somebody said that the light's coming.
I think it was Gibby's burner who said that.
I can assure you it wasn't.
Sad.
Steelers, Russell Wilson, Patrick Queen, Dante Johnson. They lost Trubisky, Okafor, and Deontay Johnson. Dante Jackson, Deontay Johnson. That's a good trade.
It is a good name trade
as well. Steelers needed to find competition for Kenny Pickett. The way he played football is the way Brock Purdy's haters think he plays football, like a conservative game manager. Now Pittsburgh has Russell Wilson to challenge him while they pay him.
Okay, so when this is done, then I think that this person can't read their content. Challenge Pickett. Russell Wilson's the starting quarterback in Pittsburgh.
Correct.
Stop it, who wrote this guy?
Steelers country. Let's weld.
Is there
have
a
you seen
bigger?
That, meme? That was my favorite meme.
Have you seen like all the things that happen?
With what?
The let's weld.
Steelers country, let's weld.
Let's weld, like, yeah.
And then all the things that go wrong in the workplace.
Is there a bigger discrepancy between his persona and location that he could have gone to than that?
No.
I don't think so either.
No.
Would have been us and them.
Yes.
Would have been the two places. Like, wait, what?
Yes.
I suppose Green Bay. Pretty short list, though. All right, still to come. One thought on free agency. We've got a Griff fact of the day as well. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Oh, baby, I can't wait to tell you about it again. Billy Joel, Rod Stewart, the Together. It's September 13th, Cleveland Browns Stadium. It's on a Friday. The tickets, you can buy them now. You can do so at clevelandbrownsstadium.com/BillyandRod2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
Billy Joel, Rod Stewart, Together. It's one night only.
Pay for the whole seat. Only use the edge.
It's going to be unbelievable. You know, The Voice was adamant that I would know more Rod Stewart songs than I think.
It's probably true. But certainly Billy Joel, that feels like... From a football analogy, I feel like that's like Jerry Rice.
I don't think Billy Joel's Jerry Rice. Like, who would be Jerry? Bruce Springsteen's Jerry Rice.
You think The Boss is bigger than Billy Joel?
I do. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think The Boss is, in terms of non-band American rock, pop rock guy, I think The Boss is the guy.
It's interesting. What would we measure that on? Sales? Billy Joel.
No, because like then you're going to be in a situation where like Michael Jackson's number one because he sold the most stuff, but like he has absolutely zero cultural impact.
It's no disrespect to Billy Joel because Joel's got hit after hit.
He does.
After hit.
I just think Springsteen is the guy. Yeah. I think Springsteen's one on that list.
I mean, I'd love to get Billy Joel on there to have him answer this. What he thinks.
We'll call Billy Joel if he's not number one.
He's the Steve Young.
Hall of Famer.
Gold Jacket.
Hall of Famer.
And then Rod Stewart.
Record holder.
Jeff Garcia?
Phil Rivers.
Well, I was just going to say in the Niners world. No?
Too soon?
Billy Joel is better than Steve Young.
Well, if Springsteen's Montana, though.
I don't know that he is. I don't know. I'm not ready to concede this point yet.
Put it up on the poll. Who's bigger? Bruce Springsteen or Billy Joel? Should we do that since we're selling Billy Joel tickets?
Yeah,
probably
I was gonna
not.
Say, I don't know if I can.
I could do it. I could put it on mine. Who's bigger, Billy Joel or Rod? What was I doing? Bruce Springsteen or Billy Joel or Billy Joel? All right, I'll put it up on the poll. In the meantime, do the Griff thing.
Fact of the day. Fact of the day. Fact of the day. It's the Griff. Fact of the day.
Dallas Mavericks forward Daniel Gafford has made 28 consecutive field goals, which sets the record for longest streaks of made shots in the play-by-play era. That's since 1996. He needs to make 7 more in a row to tie Wilt Chamberlain's NBA record. He made 35 consecutive shots back in 1967 as a member of the 76ers.
What are we calling this era?
The play-by-play era.
What does that mean?
Griff? What was that? The statistics that record the field goals?
Statistics that record the field goals.
The modern statistic era. According to our...
All right, so I put the poll up. All right, so what is this? All right, there's a guy named Daniel Gafford. He made 28 field goals consecutively, setting the record for the longest streak of made shots in the play-by-play era, so since 96 to 90s. So this is probably since they were stat tracking all of this.
Yeah, that's probably
In the old days, they weren't stat tracking all of it.
He needs 8 in a row. To beat it, 7 more to tie.
See, but the Wilt Chamberlain stuff is a little bit like the Cy Young stuff. Like, he scored 100 points in a game in Hershey, Pennsylvania, allegedly.
He had the sign.
Right.
I could have made a sign that said 200, and I scored 200
like,
points.
There's a comedian long ago who had a bit about Cy Young with his 511 wins, and the bit was like, hey, Cy, did you win? Yep, another one. Like, who knows? Was he pitching every other day? How do you get 5'11"?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Very good question.
All right,
that's still impressive, though.
This feels to me like us going to Pro Football Reference to settle a debate. Bruce Springsteen has had 18 top 40 singles. The highest he ever got was number 2 on the charts.
Oh, I don't expect him to win that.
Billy Joel, 32 top 40 singles, so almost double, and 3 times number 1 overall.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise
Bruce
me at all.
Bruce Springsteen, though. Like... His diehards are about the B-sides. It's not about the hits. They don't want to hear hits at his concert, Springsteen concert.
So, by the way, this is a debate that is – there are New York Times, New York – there are numerous articles about this exact debate.
One's New Jersey. We stumbled into it. I had no idea that this actually was a debate.
Yeah.
Right now through 72 – this is pretty amazing. 72 votes in about 30 seconds on my Twitter, 50-50.
I think it's probably maybe just a what you were
– Is this preference?
Probably. They're different styles. Now, Springsteen himself says that Billy Joel is – an infinitely better musician than he is, a more intricate composer of pop hits. He described Joel's songs as built like the Rock of Gibraltar.
I could see that.
That makes sense. I mean, and he can play anything on the piano. Yeah. Crazy good.
I don't know. To me, it's funny when you said that. Like, I always knew of The Boss, obviously.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, Billy Joel was way more, in my mind, has always been a legend.
So
I've seen, and I probably have seen Billy Joel in concert 5 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
I've seen Billy Joel once. I've seen The Boss twice.
I'm going to see him this summer because he's coming here for one night only.
Billy and Rod.
With Rod.
That's fine. Zagura will be back from West Virginia by then.
Well, no, he'll be back from Brazil, you hope. You guys will be down in Brazil probably.
Look at it. It's,
bite your tongue, Bishop.
It's like Billy and Rod turns into an opportunity to bash me. I don't understand.
It doesn't turn into
a... No, preparing to tell you that we're not going to be here for SummerSlam.
Be here for SummerSlam, and you won't be here for Billy and Rod, but I'll be here for both.
It's already been discussed.
Wish you were here.
It's already been discussed with the powers that be, and I will be at SummerSlam.
Bootsy and I will take your tickets.
The powers that be. Like,
the answers to very few.
Boy,
man,
that's
who answers
an understatement
to very few.
Of the year.
That's right. All right, this is interesting how this is turning out.
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I think it's very good. It's a good spot to be in.
Yeah.
My mom was definitely
the alternative.
My mom likes Springsteen, so maybe that's why it's in my head that it was prominent.
I like the hits for Bruce Springsteen. The first time I ever went to a concert, he played for 3 hours, and I was like, I know like 3 of these songs. Everybody's like, it's the greatest concert ever, blah, 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 blah. They're all about the underground songs.
It sounds like when we went to – I took Kayla to the John Mayer concert for her birthday last year, and like the people around were pissed whenever he played like a song that I knew.
Like Body is a Wonderland.
Yeah,
the
great stuff.
This is garbage. Like, play the real songs for the real fans. Like, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Like, no, the hits are called hits for a reason. Yeah.
No,
mass appeal is what pays the bills.
The Springsteen followers are all about like the B sides.
Like, what would you consider your
Born to Run?
Born to Run. Okay.
Yeah. Born in the USA. Born to Run.
Born in the USA. Born to Run. A lot of Born.
A lot of Born. Yeah. I mean, there's a tone.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia is
an intense song.
For sure. Is Born to Run, I mean, that. So like with Billy Joel, it would be Piano Man? Or is it the other one? Is it the We Didn't Start the Fire? Like, because when I was a kid, that one was on all the time on the video.
What a tremendous political commentary.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Piano Man, I think.
Piano Man's the one.
Yeah.
First time you go to Vegas and they have a dueling pianos and they do that.
Yeah, it brings the house down.
House comes down.
Uptown Girl, come on.
It's definitely got more hits.
Yeah.
There's no question. But I think that's what's interesting about music. Like, I'm sure that Michael Jackson has more hits than Prince, but Prince endures far more than Michael Jackson does now, right? Or is that overstepping too?
I don't think that's overstepping. I do think that there are off-the-field issues that have been taken away from the popularity of the King of Pop.
That could be as well, yeah.
Apparently
his stuff still hits.
Apparently was not starting with The Man in the Mirror.
Was not, no. Not at all. We had.
Well, maybe he was. He was just asking him to change his ways. Didn't say he could do it.
That's true.
Just like, hey, maybe this isn't the best
idea.
It was
all there.
Yeah.
It was all there. We just didn't want to know.
Yeah.
All right. One thought coming up next. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Yeah, this is amazing. So this Bruce Billy thing, it's apparently you were right. Like, this is a constant, the amount of people complaining to me about this, and it's amazing. Like, they passionately argue for either side. My boy Mark says, come on, that's like asking who's your favorite kid. Bruce is bigger, but I like Billy a lot more. But it feels like Billy might be bigger from hits, but Bruce is maybe bigger with the touring.
It's interesting. I don't know. Enough from the Clown says, this is outrageous. Billy Joel is 10 times Bruce. It's not even close. And they are good friends, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, that's great.
I remember that from one of his interviews with Howard Stern. Anytime Billy Joel is on with Howard Stern, it is must listen.
Springsteen,
it's 90
too.
Minutes.
Yeah, when he had Springsteen on, it's like that too. Like, Stern's long-form interviews are still the best.
Yeah.
Be sure to check out the Browns social media channels daily to play the Browns digital scratch-off game for the chance to win club seats and the great prizes presented by the Ohio Lottery, official lottery of the Cleveland Browns. And you're starting to see some official stuff come through on our social channels now.
Actually, the gentleman that is official signed it in the
studio.
That.
It's right in your chair.
Right here.
Right in your chair, actually.
It's right in here.
I had it.
Oh, we haven't even talked about that.
Oh, man. Oh, baby. Can we get the camera up there? Do we have the ability?
Can we bring it down, or is it pinned in?
I can do it. It is pinned in.
Yeah. Game poster. Oh, you dropped the small P.
That's right. This is actually.
Hey, now.
That's a nice keepsake, too.
What is this from?
That was my notes from yesterday.
Oh.
Got a zoom. Can we get a zoom in on this?
There you go.
There it is.
There you go.
Brad Mellon, 20 years of service. Got a poster, one like the game day posters. It's awesome.
How about talking into the microphone?
He is an absolute legend.
Your mic got askew. Who's in the Jumbotron there?
His daughter singing the national anthem.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, really well done.
That's awesome.
And we got to have a Brad Mellon Appreciation Day on this program. We need to get him in here. We need to tell some good stories.
I've been in conversation with the fine gentleman for a few weeks here.
We
needed everybody back.
Yeah.
So
I know. The Hoff's in there. Yeah. Phil Dawson's in there.
And Joe Jurevicius.
Yeah.
Those are his favorite guys.
Oh, that's so cool. That's great. Legend.
He looks stately. Looks like he could be
at, it's appropriate. It's an appropriate look.
I feel like he could be. He's like part equipment manager, part like chief. You know, doesn't he have a kind of like...
Boss.
Boss, yeah.
Boss is what it is.
Hefe.
All right, you ready? One thought, Gibby?
Sure, we can do one thought.
Let's do it.
One thought, free agency edition. We are an hour and 18 minutes away from Happy New Year in the National Football League. But through the first 2.5 days of legal tampering, one thought, Browns general manager Andrew Berry Bishop.
I think he did pretty close to what he wanted to do. And I think some of it was very, like the Judy thing was exactly what we told you that they would do at the receiver position, that they would find someone in a spot, capitalize on that spot, and they did. There's still some work to be done, but I think he executed as is typically the case. They have a plan, they're prepared, and then they execute it, and I think they largely did.
Zagura.
I think he is incredible at bringing in premier talent for cheap prices. And I think he did a good job in the re-signing of guys like Za'Darius Smith, which we have seen. Some of the other reported re-signings I think were very good. So I think it was solid. You're bringing back, in large part, the team, and you're going into the draft pretty much with a good idea of what your 53 is going to look like, allowing you to not only get the best players for your football team this year, but also to succession plan, even if you need to in this draft class. So I think he's done an excellent job. And, you know, we do have some cap constraints. I think that we're going to, you know, trying to move some of that around a little bit more, but good job. And AB he's prepared, as we said, and he executed on his plan. And I think getting Jerry Jeudy, that's going to be the one, if that pans out, that is going to be the signature move of this offseason.
Up next, one thought on NFL free agency. One thought on the Minnesota Vikings. Zagura.
I guess my thought would be they're going to miss Kirk Cousins.
You know the scene in Big when Tom Hanks is at the first meeting with the toys and they're trying to sell the building?
He
goes, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And he keeps going, I don't get it. And the guy gets really mad. John Hurt gets really mad. The dad.
Real
man. From Home Alone. That's kind of where I am with the Vikings. I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing. I like Kwesi a lot. He's kind of stuck in between. I don't know what they're doing. Then they spent on the defensive line, but not Danielle Hunter. Cousins walks, and then it's Darnold, and it's like, what are you trying to? I don't know what you're trying to be.
But you do have Aaron Jones. It almost feels like they're trying.
Yeah, and then they went and got Aaron Jones. It's like I don't know.
It feels like they're trying to rebuild.
I don't get it.
But not tank.
One thought through the first 2.5 days of NFL free agency on the Carolina Panthers, Bishop.
I wish they were in our division.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be something? There's nothing else that needs to
people
be said.
Like
that's a great – got it. They're going to be just.
I wish they were in our division.
By a landslide.
We have no Carolina Panthers.
At least next year they'll be able to use their own number one pick on sure. Quinn Ewers or whatever. But, yeah, it's a mess.
You think Bryce Young has 0% chance of rehabilitation?
No, I don't think that. But I don't know that anyone could survive and thrive in the situation they're in, let alone somebody with his such specific set of issues.
Do you think it is more likely that we will see Bryce Young become a Pro Bowl quarterback or that we will actually see Kate Middleton in public again?
What's going on with Kate Middleton? What did I miss?
I don't know what's going on there.
What are you talking about?
John Oliver was on last night. John Oliver was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Bravo.
Of course you're watching that.
Miss K loves it. I actually like that show.
Miss K leads you right into that?
Yeah, I like that show. I don't mind that show at all.
Only for Miss K. God bless.
And John Oliver, kind of joking but not joking, said there's a non-zero chance that she's been dead for 18 months. So there's a big – they posted this picture of her. The royal family posted this picture of her, and it was completely Photoshopped from an old picture. And so, like, there's – when they show her, it's, like,
what
blurred
she's been
out.
Dead for 18 months. How did she die? What are you talking about?
He just said there's a non-zero chance, whereas you would think it was zero. There's a lot of mystery going on.
There's
right
something
now.
Going on with her health. In all seriousness,
or nobody
they don't
knows
know what exactly is going on.
She's gone. She has not been seen for a long, long time.
Like the Scientology wife, she's just gone.
They release like pictures of her where she's looking the other way out of the car, and it's blurry. And
is this real?
Yeah, and then the crown
it appears to be
the
real.
Crown. You know, they say they never.
Drew
what do they say?
Yes.
Don't apologize or
I don't know who Drew is. But
no, don't complain and don't explain is like the crown's motto, and Kate Middleton was like, oh, I was just trying to Photoshop the picture, and I did a bad job. People in Britain are
I've
like,
heard
this
none
is
of this. I've heard none of this.
So I, same thing as you, for me, until last night, I'd kind of heard a few things, and I just turned to Miss K, and I said, what's going on with Kate Middleton? And then sure enough, it was the first thing Andy Cohen asked John Oliver, and John Oliver was like, there's a non-zero chance she's been dead for 18 months. He's like, it's very bizarre.
All right.
Up next, one thought on new.
So, which is more likely than, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know. I'm just getting.
He's getting up to speed on this.
I think the woman in line to be the Queen of England has maybe been vaporized in the last 18 months. Without, I just think that's.
Drew, do you have a better handle on it?
I did watch The Crown, and I did. They I feel like they're capable of a lot.
Yeah. He does not. He knows it's a thing.
It's a thing, though.
That's a thing. There you go.
One thought on new Falcons QB Kirk Cousins. Zagura.
It's great.
Best team in the NFC South.
Yeah.
Playoff team for sure.
Yes.
Outside shot at being the one seed because of the division they play in.
Yeah, I think if they do draft one of those receivers, I mean, they could be one of the most fun offenses in the NFL.
Put a doozy on there.
Only wear the throwbacks.
Yep,
because they're beautiful.
Did you see his video to Minnesota?
No,
like in front of a green wall in his house. Like, of course,
he's unbelievable.
Yes,
I really think that, you know, if they draft a receiver, if they draft, like you said, a doozy at 8 or the kid from LSU, if he's there, they could be like when Jeff George was there and it was the greatest show on turf, is what everybody called it.
Easy.
Well, it won't be that bombs over Baghdad.
No, maybe, perhaps not. But boy, was that a lot of fun.
Fitting Atlanta reference.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
One thought on right now, Bears QB Justin Fields, Bishop.
It's amazing to me. But I guess we're in the minority. I just don't understand it. He's not going to start anywhere. The rumors this morning were Philly, which, as we said yesterday,
he'd
go to Philly and go behind Jalen Hurts and try to resuscitate. He's going to have to go the Darnold route. It's rare that a guy who was drafted he was better every year. There's a lot of these guys who have on to second teams and stuff, but usually you get a chance to compete to be a starter after you leave. Like Darnold went to Carolina, got a chance. Bake went chance, then earned his way back. This is kind of like a Rosen almost situation. Like he almost needs to like go away and then. And he was far more successful than Rosen.
I don't even get it.
He was number 9 in the MVP vote 2 years ago. He ran for 1,100 yards.
I don't get it.
I don't understand it.
Real quick, 30 seconds. The running back position. Zagura, one thought.
This just tells you that the NFL evaluators believe that this running back class stinks.
and that they were willing to spend with the salary cap increase, spend a little bit of money on running backs.
I also, I think there is something to the weapon part of it. You know, short term, bigger money, weapon stuff. Probably a little bit of that. No, it's good. All right, so much more to come. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, right now, nearly 500 votes in what amounts to about 20 minutes. That's a big poll. There's a lot of people excited about it. And by the way, this poll seems to be perfect, unbeknownst to me or us. Like, we had no idea that this would be this even. Springsteen 52.2, wow. Billy Joel 47.8. So perfect polling.
It's a good poll. So I think that we're both right. And the truth is, neither is Steve Young.
Incorrect.
No, that
someone's
got to
be. Someone's got to be. Well, if one of them's Joe.
Rod Stewart.
Well, maybe Rod Stewart's. Maybe one of them is Steve Young, and the difference between him and Montana is not that great.
Wrong.
Oh,
see, that's it.
I mean, I like that.
Enjoy your first Friday, kids.
I don't like it.
Next Level is next. We're back tomorrow. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.